Dear Heavenly Father, we would ask that you would teach us this morning. Help us to bow down before you, to humble ourselves, and allow you to speak to our hearts, to change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If I get it wrong, then I am accursed. Sobering. Not speaking theoretically. If I get it wrong, I am accursed. The gospel, I mean. If I get the gospel wrong, then I am accursed. Same goes for you. Get it right or remain under the curse of God, crushed under the weight of His holy law. So we'd better get it right then, hadn't we? And you may notice that I'm speaking of the gospel. We don't have to call it the true gospel to identify it, to have it stand out among the other gospels. It is true, and we could rightly say the true gospel, but we are on very solid ground when we simply say the gospel, because there is only one. In our text this morning, the Apostle Paul speaks of a different gospel that is no gospel at all. So I repeat, there is one gospel. Our Galatians study is all about making sure we get this right. Why? Why does it matter? Because if we do not get the gospel right, then we will not be rescued from this present evil age. The message of Galatians is one of freedom. Freedom from our sins. Freedom from this present darkness. Escape. We need rescued. We need help. We need a Savior. The other gospels, the gospels that aren't gospels at all, not only cannot rescue or deliver us from this present evil age, but they are part of the lie. You know the lie I am speaking of. The one where humans trade the truth of God for a lie. And is there any greater lie? Is there any greater deception than a gospel that leads to the judgment of God? Please tell me if I am missing something. But where is the good news in a story that ends in the lake of fire? John MacArthur shares this insight from his many years of ministry. One of the strange realities in my life that I never really anticipated is that I have spent so many years, preached so many messages, written so many books, trying, in a sense, to hang on to the gospel while it's under attack from so-called evangelicals. When I was in seminary, you know, we were kind of prepared to battle with liberalism, and we were prepared to defend the inerrancy of Scripture. We were prepared to be able to defend the true ministry of the Holy Spirit and get the right paradigm of sanctification and deal with the sort of initial movement of what we now call the charismatic movement. We were learning how to address issues of liberalism and to counter Catholicism and deal with the cults. But the gospel seemed to be sort of a settled issue in the evangelical world. Philip Ryken tells us this, speaking of modern gospels, tells us that, more importantly, can you distinguish between the true gospel and all the false gospels in the contemporary church? We worship in a church of many gospels. There is the gospel of material prosperity, which teaches that Jesus is the way to financial gain. There is the gospel of family values, which teaches that Jesus is the way to a happy home. There is the gospel of the self, which teaches that Jesus is the way to personal fulfillment. There is the gospel of religious tradition, which teaches that Jesus is the way to respectability. There is the gospel of morality, which teaches that Jesus is the way to be a good person. End quote. But there is only one gospel. One effective rescue from the evil of this world, and that is God's gospel. One plan, one gospel, no other way or ways. If you would turn in your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Mini book, your notes today, a lot of good stuff in here. If there is one thing that maybe I looked, I don't second guess a lot. Usually I'm pretty satisfied with the big idea I put up front. But you know what I would change about this front cover? What I might change, just have one. Just have a big number one. Because we cannot get away, not reasonably, not biblically, not logically, you cannot get away from Galatians 1 and miss the idea that there's one gospel. There's one. There are no others. We live in a world. We touch that world ourselves. Where to get along, we make a way. We look the other way. We're going to address that too, because the biggest determinant often is pleasing the people around us. I heard something a while back, and it goes something pretty close to this. When you have a major disagreement with someone, when you have a disagreement with someone, rather, and there are major points that you disagree on, there are two possibilities. You can both be wrong. One of you can be right and the other person wrong, but you can never both be right. You follow that? If there's major disagreement, you can both be wrong. You can both be out to lunch. One of you can be right and the other person wrong, but you cannot both be right. And we have a lot of that in our churches today. Well, we're both right. We will do this. Because I want to get along with you. You seem to be a good Christian person. You're moral, you're upright. Why, you go to church more than I do. All criteria that are not the basis of our true faith, our true belief in Jesus Christ. And it comes down to the origin of your gospel. Where did you get it? That's exactly what Paul brings us to this morning. He says, my gospel is from God. My gospel does not have its origins in humanity, not in man, not in these religious contemporaries, but the origin of his gospel was God. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The source of the gospel is God, not humans. Now, that might seem so basic. Well, let me read the other main points. In fact, you've got this outline. You've got much of what I have to say on that center sheet, the one in the portrait mode, long ways. But three very basic points, but it is amazing how God fits. Everything fits beneath this. It speaks to all of this. The source of the gospel is God, not humans. The source of the different gospel, which is not a gospel at all, is accursed humans. And the messenger of the gospel is a servant of Christ. I don't have his name down. Scott McKnight. Scott McKnight shares this with us from his Galatians commentary. We just read, Paul, an apostle, not from men or through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul saying, this is where I'm coming from God the Father, not from men or through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. Scott McKnight tells us, Paul then writes as an apostle, as one who has been called personally by Jesus Christ. He expects the Galatians to listen. He knows that disagreement is no longer dialogue. Disagreement is heresy when it comes to the essentials of the gospel as made known through the apostles and prophets. See, there's a communication dynamic. If you can't undermine the message, then you undermine the messenger. And there were those at that day, well, they said, well, Paul, you weren't even an apostle when Christ was still on the earth. And Paul had the special experience that we know, the great light that shone, that knocked him down, that blinded him, all of those things. He was taken away. He was taught the gospel by Jesus Christ himself. He was secluded from people, probably for moments like this. But they would try to take away from the message because, see, these quote-unquote missionaries followed after Paul. And they started undermining him because, see, the person that doesn't know grace, the person that doesn't embrace grace and live grace, they cannot accept the fact that they cannot do anything, that they cannot have some work, no matter how small, to help the salvation process. Now we see Paul says in verse 6, he says, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him. And if you notice it, that you're so quickly deserting God, this isn't just a theological discussion. This is about their salvation. But Paul says he's astonished. Now, he could have been astonished anyway, but if you've got a timeline, you've got different things, the dates that Galatians was written. But this probably, after Paul went through, he went through probably southern Galatia to these towns that are listed. You got a lot of this information on your sheets, as I said. And his first missionary journey. They had great success. Many people came to know the Lord. In fact, it says in one place, they were begging him to tell them more. So if you can picture then this amazing evangelistic campaign, and probably within 2 years, maybe within 1 year, after these people from these towns, Lystra, Derbe, Antioch, Iconium, after they came to know the Lord, Paul is writing this letter. He said, what are you thinking? He said, I am astonished. But the source of the gospel, Paul comes back to. He has to get them to understand because he had these people, and maybe they were very impressive. Maybe they were very influential. And they came in, and they say, well, you just need, we're going to see, it's circumcision. But as John Calvin tells us in his commentary on Galatians, it's not just circumcision. It's not just a work of the law. It's not just speaking against the ceremonial law. It's speaking of any work. Salvation, our gospel, is by grace. God does it. The source of the gospel is God, not humans. The messengers of the gospel are God's messengers. If you get it right. Now, when I started out saying, if I get it wrong, then I'm accursed. You know what I've gone through? I mean, this has been preparing this for months, and then the closer it gets to today when we're actually sharing, the more intense it gets. And I told a friend, a joyful anticipation. And I did, because it's so clear. And I have the opportunity, the wonderful privilege, part of my stewardship is standing up here and poring over this text and sharing with you. But here's what I went through too. I went through my period of fear. A good kind. This wasn't, oh, I've got it all together, now I'm going to tell people about it. When I started out saying, if I don't get it right, then I'm accursed. That wasn't theory. If I don't get it right, I'm under the curse of God. Paul is so blunt, so pronounced with this. In fact, let me jump ahead. We're going to come back, but I've got to jump ahead. In verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, the one Paul preached to them, let him be accursed. Verse 10, For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I'm sorry, verse 8. Let me start again. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Chapter 9, he said, in case you missed it. And I've even got it in the notes. I put it in there twice in the bullet point. And then I put it in brackets. The repeat is intentional. It's not a mistake. Verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. To be accursed means to be under the curse of God. We'll see later as Galatians develop, it's under the curse of the law. This overwhelming measurement of righteousness and the holiness of God. We can't take that weight. We needed help. We needed a Savior. There, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And you might say, I heard a man tell me again this week. You might call it cynical, or you might call it on target, whatever you want to call it, but I'll pass it on. I've heard John MacArthur has said it. I heard this man, he said it. We have people, our churches across our country, full of people who do not know Christ. It's this other gospel. It's the gospel of family values. It's the gospel of patriotism. Let's take our government back. It's the gospel of self-esteem. It's the gospel of relationships. It's the gospel of church growth. If we don't get it right, we're cursed. There's one gospel. One man said, and you don't change, not you don't budge, not one micron. As I said, what I might have changed about the front cover of the study sheet, I put a big number one. There's only one. We can call it the true gospel. It's the true gospel. But we can just say gospel because there's no other. The gospels that aren't actually not the gospels are part of the lie, are part of the deception. Think about that. Think about what a solid thought that is. They are part of the deception. Satan doesn't care if you say that you believe in the gospel as long as it's not the gospel. He doesn't care if you go to church and if you're religious till it comes out your ears as long as you don't believe the one gospel. We can say, well, that's old-timey and that's passé and all that. Well, what I'm saying is you can't read Galatians and not see that there's only one gospel, and that gospel is God's, not humans. The messengers of the gospel are God's messengers. The words of the gospel are God's words that bring grace and peace. The purpose of the gospel is to deliver us, to rescue us from the present evil age. The plan of the gospel is God's plan. Philip Ryken, again, you've got a lot of him on your study notes. I thought, boy, I'm giving him a lot of... I hadn't even accessed him before. He's actually, I looked him up, the president of Wheaton College. I did not... I've lost some... I don't think of Wheaton College as strongly, positively, as I have in the past, so I was really a little surprised to see how biblical he was in his commentary. But you've got a bit of him on there. He says, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was not merely an example of supreme sacrifice, but an actual atonement for sins. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins. Now see, this is, it's like, well, the gospel continues to come up through Galatians, but what we're seeing here is we're seeing what Paul said, this is where I got my gospel. I got it from the one who came, gave himself for our sins. He goes on to say it enabled God to forgive us by satisfying his pure justice. The cross, so where Paul get his gospel from Jesus Christ and from God the Father, and then in the other place he says God our Father. He says the cross had been in God's mind from all eternity. Thus it demonstrates the love of God as well as the love of Christ. There could be no conflict within the Trinity, as if a loving Son had to rescue us from an angry Father. On the contrary, the willingness of the Son was in response to the Father's will. Now listen to this. The Father does not love us because the Son died for us. Rather, the Son died for us because the Father loves us. The cross had its origin in the Father's heart. This is what these first verses are. The gospel, the only one, is God's gospel. The other gospels are men messing around with God's word, and we're going to see that. Verse point number two, the source of the different gospel of it is accursed humans. Verses 6 through 9, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say it again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Now see, this is what's interesting. The source of the gospel is God, not humans. What's Paul telling us here? The source of this false gospel, the different gospel that's not really a gospel. In fact, this gospel that he's going to talk about was adjusted just a little bit. In fact, it was just something from the Old Testament law. It was a good thing. It was circumcision. We're not going to look at that a lot today. We'll look at that as we progress through. But it was an honored religious rite of the Jews. This wasn't some far out, tangent, weird, out left field. No, this was something close that they were dear. This is why these fake Christian missionaries made their way. They say, you gotta, you know, that's all well and good what he said, but he didn't take it far enough. The messengers of the different gospel are quick to leave grace, God's way of dealing with humans, to embrace the human way. The messengers of the different gospel are quick to leave. What is grace? See, grace is, as we see, we'll see grace through the process, our entire salvation. Grace comes to us to bring us to that point of belief where we're justified. And then we have the next big theology word, sanctification. And that means that God is changing and transforming us. And then the next big theology word is glorification, when we see Christ. And then everything comes together. And it's not just perfect, it's past perfect. But it's grace through that entire process. Well, what is that grace? Romans, we learned that grace brings righteousness. See, people that think that grace isn't enough, or people that think that grace is, well, I'm living in grace, so I can do this and I can do that and I can do these things contrary to God and His teaching, they don't have a clue. See, they haven't escaped from this present evil age, because that's the thinking of this world. See, that's what these teachers that came in, they took the thinking of this world, this good, solid religious teaching, and they took Paul's word. What does it say here in our text? Isn't the Bible great? We don't have to guess. They distort the gospel. See, they took the words. They took the gospel. And they say, here's what we'll make something of this. But if you remember last week, if the vessel's not clean, you bring it into that dirty cup and it's dirtied, it's contaminated, and that's what they've done. But these that Paul is dealing with, they took the words. That's why they sound like us. That's why they can sound. They talk about, one man has written, he said they've abandoned Christ, but they still preach Jesus. But this world has infiltrated their minds. They haven't escaped. They haven't been delivered from their sins. They're still trapped in the darkness, and they're talking about the light and the salvation of God. It's the accursed humans are the ones. The source of the different gospel is accursed humans. Any other gospel, and it can really make sense, it can really sound good, it can appear to be wonderful intellectually, even theologically. And it happens all over our country, probably all over this world. The messengers of the different gospel are quick to leave grace, God's way of dealing with humans. I got off track. What's grace? God's unmerited favor. I talked about what grace would do and go through all the process of justification, sanctification, and glorification. What is that? That it, grace at his work? It's always his unmerited favor. Why? Because we can't do anything except for believe what he said. We'll see this as we go through Galatians. Those who are commended. Oh, by the way, in Galatians, you know how usually Paul starts out and he commends a church for something? He even commended the Corinthians church with all the problems of immorality and that they had. Not one bit of commendation at the beginning in his greeting for the Galatians. No condemnation. You'll see in your notes, it talks about Galatians. Talks about the New Testament being a bad-tempered book. And then it says, Timothy George says, still perhaps no one in the New Testament was more belligerent in his denunciation of opponents than the Apostle Paul, and nowhere was he more bad-tempered than in Galatians. But I won't read the whole thing, but what was at stake was not merely the outbursts of an ill-tempered preacher, but rather the truth of the gospel itself. See, I'm really not much of anything. I'm a little old guy. I see myself walking down the hall sometimes in the mirror, and I have to chuckle. I really do. Look at that funny-looking little guy. But see, it's not who I am. You can see it right here. Now, you can dismiss me. And I've heard it before, and I'll hear it again. Well, that's your opinion. I could take somebody directly to the Word of God. Well, that's your opinion. And you know what you ought to hear when you say that? Because see, that it's like a blade that you grab to stop, and then it cuts your hand. Well, that's your opinion. Because then that works for everything, because then you can go to something in God's Word and they could just say, well, that's your opinion. Now where are you? And someone will say, well, that's your version. Well, you can say that. You can say that's my opinion, but maybe, you know what's called a death knell? The history of that is there were three bells. The bell that someone was passing. The passing bell, the lich bell, or the last one was the lich bell, the coarse bell. But in between was the death bell, the death knell, and its signal. And so when we're saying these things like that, when we're fending off truth, you should even hope that you hear this bell sounding, because it's the signal of your death, of your spiritual death. If you can't see how clear this is. Pray to God that if you're walking in darkness, pray to God if you're still in spiritual death that you haven't come to Him through the gospel. Pray to God that you hear that first bell sounding and you can turn and repent and confess your sins. It can't be any clearer. The messengers of the gospel are quick to leave grace. The messengers of the different gospel trouble their listeners by distorting the words of the gospel. These are troublesome people. The messengers of the gospel speak a gospel that is contrary to the one that Paul preached. We'll look at this also as we continue. See, this is what Paul, he said the gospel, he said my gospel, the one that I preached. So we're going to focus on that. What was Paul's gospel? Because we have a lot of people, they go to various places and get their gospel. What did Paul preach? What was Paul's gospel? Because as we've seen, if there's another one, a different one, it's not actually the gospel. And if you don't get it right, you are under the curse of God. The messengers of the different gospel are under the curse of God. The third point, the messenger of the gospel is a servant of Christ. Seems so simple, doesn't it? But everything just fits so beautifully, links together so wonderfully. Verses 10 through 12, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. What is man's gospel? It's the different gospel that's preached and taught and spread by cursed humans. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. The messenger of the gospel seeks God's approval. The messenger of the gospel seeks God's approval. That's the only way you can stay on target. That's the only way you can keep the right coordinates. It's got to be God's approval, because you have all kinds of pressure, believe me, all kinds of pressure to bend it a little bit. Look the other way here so we can get along. And if it's a matter of conviction, where you can look, but this is not a matter of conviction, this is a matter of life and death, blessing or curse, salvation or not, heaven or hell. The messenger of the gospel is a servant of Christ. He said, am I seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So if I'm trying to please God, God is the one. And it's the best thing you can do for the people around you. You may lose friendships. You may lose relationships. But if you truly care for them, the one you please love first will be God. The one you seek his approval first will be God. The messenger of the gospel knows that his gospel is not man's gospel. See, when you got the gospel, you know that. One gospel. One plan. See, when you have a different gospel, you don't know you have the gospel, because grace convinces you. You know the solid ground, the song that we sang. There's one gospel, one plan, God's plan. Now here's a very important point. Since the gospel is God's plan, then any change to the gospel, any and every modification is done by people to please people. Any change that is done, any modification of the gospel, because there's only one, right? It's not gospel 1A. It's not the gospel for this denomination. It's not the gospel for that group. There's one if you believe the Bible. See how God leads? I've got statements from national liberal churches where they'll make something like, well, who are we to say? Well, we believe, yeah, the Bible teaches this, but who are we to say? Who are we to say that God's not reaching people in other ways with his salvation? You know what's undermined them? Because they've been talking all along. You follow what I'm saying? Who are we to say? Because that's what they've been offering, is their opinion. They've undermined the authority and the inspiration of God's word. You might say, well, Dave, who are you to say? I'm not. Just turn here in your Bibles. What does it say? It's not that hard. Well, it could be that hard to understand. If you don't know Christ, it actually could. But they're saying, well, who are we to say? Because see, they don't believe the Bible's the authoritative word of God. They don't believe the gospel is the only way. When you undermine the authority of this of God's word, when it's no longer God's word, then yeah, you'd make a statement like that. Well, who am I really to say? There's got to be some wiggle room, right? Do you see any wiggle room in Galatians 1? The gospel and everything else and everything else, you're under the curse. From small to large, from simple to complex, humans demand some part in salvation. Why? Because the natural man, the unsaved person, cannot comprehend a gospel apart from human works. See, this is the difference. The gospel that comes from God. We'll see chapter 2, verse 16. By faith, by grace, through faith, not works. Justified by faith. We're justified by believing God has done what he said he has done. The unsaved person cannot comprehend a gospel apart from human works. They do not know grace. Two indications that a person does not know the grace of God. Indication number one, there could be more, I'll share these two. That indication number one, they're unsettled. They have to tinker with God's gospel. They're confused. See, this is what I see. People who are confused about the gospel, people who are confused, people who can't embrace God's grace, who can't say that God has done that. All I have done is believe, no works. And that's why you, and they're confused, and it's like, well, this is one way and this is the other way. You ask a direct question. Well, I don't know if I can answer that because, well, they're unsettled. But yet you can have the guy who was drug off the gutter in the middle of Chicago who gets saved by the gospel, and he knows right where he stands before God. You hear them in the Pacific Garden Mission in the chapel. These other, well, they're unsettled, and well, I think, or I hope, or well, I've tried to be religious. I put a check in every, whatever it might be. They're unsettled. They have to tinker with the gospel, God's gospel. This person cannot accept the clear, simple truth of the gospel. Galatians 2:16, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Indication number one, they're unsettled. Indication number two, they're fearful. And I see this in people that are confused about the gospel. They're fearful. They got this. They can have this watchdog mentality. Oh, well, you got to be careful. You don't go too far with that. And why is that? Well, it makes perfect biblical sense. Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. You have all of these verses. Romans 8:15 says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery. What is the spirit of slavery? What does that take you to? You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Now, what is Galatians? What's the message of Galatians? Our freedom in Christ. It's what it said back here in verse 4, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. The Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Galatians 2:4 and 5, yet because a false brother secretly brought in who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ so that they might bring us into slavery. To them we did not yield in submission, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved in you. Back to Philip Ryken one last time here. He said, he spoke of Raymond Ortlund. And he said, Raymond Ortlund, well, first, earlier, and you've got this quote on your sheets, he said, well, he said, if we look around, what might a church look like that doesn't have the gospel? And he said, well, just look around America. He said, just look around. And then he brought reference to this Raymond Ortlund. He said, has tried to imagine the church without the gospel. He says, what might our evangelicalism without the evangel, the gospel, look like? What might it look like without the gospel? Well, here's what he said. See if you don't recognize these things. A passionate devotion to the pro-life cause. A confident manipulation of modern managerial techniques. A drive toward church growth. A deep concern for the institution of the family. A clever appeal to consumerism by offering a sort of cost-free Christianity light. A sympathetic, empathetic, thickly honeyed cultivation of interpersonal relationships. A determination to take America back to its Christian roots through political power. A warm affirmation of self-esteem. Every one of these thought we take the gospel and then these minds, because we're not getting all the words from God. We're taking God's word and we're saying, this is what I would like to see happen. So we trouble the people around us by distorting the words, and we still call it the gospel. And a lot of people might follow your gospel, but they're all going in the same direction. Look at the above list. The institution of the family, church growth, determination to take America back. Every single item shows a modification to the gospel to make it more acceptable, more appealing to human reason. what we will see as we continue to study through, the greatest modifier of the gospel is to please the people around you. You're in a community and there's a prominent denomination. The temptation is to modify the gospel to fit in with the surrounding churches. You follow what I'm saying? Do you see how clear? Do you see the powerful wisdom in this text? Am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? And when we see that, and we see those general principles working out, every time we see that modification of the gospel, it's to try to fit in. It's to some of us would even call it be a good Christian person. Except for it's not, if it's not biblically grounded. The problem is that these different gospels will not quench the thirst for true life that comes only through salvation, and I quote the text here, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God and of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. We should be able to get it right, shouldn't we, Father? We pray that you would speak to us, that we can, that we would allow you to show us and to stand firm and to move forward in the truth of your word. Pray that you would speak to each of us today, every heart, every soul. Speak to us. Direct our minds to you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give each of us our direction. What do we need to firm up? Do we need to come to you? Do we need to allow you to firm up our foundation, to clear up our theology, our doctrine? Whatever that might be, we pray that you would speak to us. Guide us as we go through this wonderful, wonderful freedom letter to the Galatians. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.